I want us to think about the words believe. I want us to think about the words share, the word rejoice, the word commission, and the word presence.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
For the game of man's soul, Lord.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. From Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and appointed to spread the good news of God. God had already promised this good news through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This good news is about his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his human nature, he was a descendant of David. In his spiritual, holy nature, he was declared the Son of God. This was shown in a powerful way when he came back to life. Through him, we have received God's kindness and the privilege of being apostles who bring people from every nation to the obedience that is associated with faith. This is for the honor of his name. You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ.
This morning we read from the book of Mark, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised, and he is not here. Look, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples that Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. That there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out, fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Well, we turn to that space of time after the cross. We've already talked about all those weeks of the cross, and we move to thinking about some other words this morning. And I want us to think about five words. I want us to think about the words believe. I want us to think about the words share, the word rejoice, the word commission, and the word presence, because those words become very important as we make our journey from the cross to resurrection. Now, Mary and Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene and John, the beloved disciple, had stood at the foot of the cross, and they had witnessed the death of their beloved son and friend and brother upon the cross. And they all witnessed Jesus being taken down from that cross and being prepared and laid in a new tomb carved out of rock. Now, depending upon which of the Gospels that you read, and most all of them say that Jesus was placed in a new tomb carved out of stone. It was located near a garden. Now, Mary Magdalene and Mary had gone to the tomb that day, and depending again on the story that you read, perhaps an earthquake occurred, perhaps the stone was just already rolled back. But an angel appears and speaks to one or the other, or singly Mary, and they're asked to believe what seemed the impossible. They're asked to believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And it was interesting that it's to the women that Jesus appears. You know, I always have believed that while Jesus selected 12 apostles, 12 disciples, there were always a remnant of women and other people who sort of hung around on the periphery of that group of 12 and were not intimate in the small details, but they were always available. So they were a part of the close following of Jesus. And so it's to the women that Jesus has appeared to, because all the rest of them had gone into hiding for fear of being killed, for fear of being found. And so they're the ones that Jesus shows up to. And they're asked to believe again what seemed like the impossible. And there are still many today who find it hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, because they didn't see it. They didn't experience it. They didn't encounter it. So how can it be possible? How can we believe that which we didn't see? And so not only are they asked to believe, but they're asked to share. They're told, go and tell the disciples what I've just told you. Tell them that Jesus has already risen and he's going to meet them in Galilee, and you should go and talk to them and share with them what you've heard. And so they go and they share. And fortunately, what happens is that they don't believe them. They distrust them. They're not sure. They're unsure. And depending on the gospel story that you read, they come back to the tomb with the ladies and they look in and they see that in fact he's not there. And yet they're still puzzled. They're still not sure about this whole idea. Even though they'd been told, I'm going to rise, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise, and in 3 days I'll be resurrected. They'd heard that. But even when it happened, they weren't sure. Well, I want us to think for a little bit about where this all takes place. So I want to take you on a little tour this morning in Israel. And I want you to think about something. When you go to Israel, and the first time I went, we had a young man by the name of Mike. But Mike was the one who I had on the first trip. And Mike was, his background was in architecture. And so he liked to talk about the architecture and the structures that were there and the places that we saw. And one of the things that he always said to us whenever we got to a new spot, he would say, now remember, tradition says that this or that happened here. But he would also say then, but remember, now there's a building on that spot. So you had to decide, did the building and the space mean as much as merely being in that location, being in that place where Jesus literally lived and walked and moved? Did it matter so much the location of the space as just the general overview, if you will? But nevertheless, you go to places that some say this is what happened on this location. And very often there are buildings built on those places, and different denominations, different churches have taken tasks to keep that space taken care of and look after it and whatever. Well, this space is what we call the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And I'll never forget the first time we went, Mike and Marcia Coyner were with us. And as we were getting ready to go in, Marcia leaned over to me and she said, I just hate this spot. I looked at her and I said, why? She said, because it stinks. I was like, what? Well, I understood when I went in the door. This particular location is overseen by the Coptics, by the Russian and Greek Orthodox, by the Catholic Church, and there's one other that I can't remember. And depending upon who's in charge on a given day determines what you'll see or what you won't see. And so when we were there the first time, we didn't see some of the things that we got to see the second time. But this is the location that some say is the site, the burial site, and the place of Jesus' preparation and the burial of Jesus in Jerusalem. This would be considered in the old days, in the original walls of Jerusalem, this location would have been outside the city walls. So when you read that Jesus was buried outside the city, this would have been an outside the city location. Now, with the walls being rebuilt, this is inside the walls and inside what we consider the old city at this stage of the game. But let's go back to those five words for a minute. We talked about believe. We talked about share. Now we need to talk about rejoicing. Because it doesn't really matter whether you settle on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or the Garden Tomb. But we're asked to rejoice. We're asked to celebrate. It doesn't matter whether we have 111 people here or whether we have 47 or we have two. We all are called to rejoice about what Christ did at the resurrection and at the cross and at the empty tomb. If we believe in the resurrection and have experienced resurrection in our own lives, then we can't help but rejoice over God's power, over the grave, over sin, and over death, can we? We who have met and know the risen Lord must live forever in the joy of Christ's presence, from which nothing can part us from Christ ever again. The disciples thought that they had experienced the very worst thing in their lives, the fact that they had witnessed Jesus dying on the cross and was now gone from them. That was the very worst thing that they thought they would ever have to experience. And they didn't know what to do with it. And perhaps we've had one of those experiences as well. But Frederick Buechner, one of the great Christian preachers, states, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. Because you see, if we believe in Jesus Christ, We know that there's something better yet to come. We will be reunited with those that we love. Something else good will happen even when we die. That's not the end of the story, is it? And so we're called to rejoice. We're promised a new life. Butterflies are a reminder to us of new life. They're born as a little caterpillar. They turn into that chrysalis, that ugly looking thing that contains it. And then they emerge forth into a beautiful butterfly, reminding us that new life comes out of things. And we're invited to think about that new life and to share that new life. Reminds us that the promise of Christ is that we'll all be changed and that we can believe, share, and rejoice. But there's more than that. You see, Jesus told them to go to Galilee and he would meet them there. And he said to them at the end of Matthew, he uses these words, do not be afraid. And I always think it's interesting that we hear those words, do not be afraid, because we heard those from the very beginning of Jesus' life. The angel shows up to Mary. The angel shows up to Zechariah. The angel shows up to Joseph. And in every one of those occasions, he says to them, do not be afraid. And again, at the end, we hear the angel, we hear people saying, do not be afraid, for I have good news for you yet. And Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You see, not only are we asked to rejoice, to believe and to share, but we're asked to invite. We have a commission. We have a commission. We're asked to go out and invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're called to teach people. We're called to invite people into that relationship. And then the rest of the promise is that he will be with us always. No matter what happens, Christ will always be with us. So as we go out today, we are people of resurrection 24/7, 365 days a year. We need to always be sharing the story, sharing our story. Not just sharing the story of the scripture, but sharing how our story has been impacted by the power of Christ, by his power of resurrection within us. Rejoicing in the change that Christ has made in our life. Continuing to bring and invite other people to share in that belief and to share their story and to rejoice in God's continual resurrection and remembering that he is with us always, even unto the end of the age. Amen.
Want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30 we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.